we go.
Welcome. How's it going, Nick?
Pretty good, Matt. How's it going with you?
Pretty good. Well, we already covered our names. I am Matt, and this is...
Nick.
And this is the second episode of Casting from the Server Room, which means we have picked out a name. And the name of this podcast is Casting from the Server Room.
Casting from the Server Room.
That's right. That's right. Incorrect. Good times. All right. So, going to go over a couple things. Our last podcast, we listened to it and realized that maybe we shouldn't be doing this, but we decided to kick it out and do another one.
We're going
to
try.
I'm going to try. See what happens. But this time we're more prepared than last time. We actually have some notes written up what we want to talk about. So we'll jump right in and talk about some technology news, what's gone on in the past week. But actually, before we do, we should probably mention why this didn't come out on Thursday.
I don't remember why it didn't come out on Thursday.
Nick came over. Actually, Nick is with me today. He came over to my house.
Oh,
and instead of doing a Skype call, so he's sitting right next to me. And, well, we decided to try it here, and I just have my microphone, which is not a bad one, and a cheap one. So we tried to hook up the cheap one to the mixer board and didn't have much luck. It actually didn't come up at all. So we had to scrap it last night and go to Radio Shack today, and he's got a new microphone.
A new, more expensive, crappy microphone.
Yeah, it is still a pretty crappy
but
microphone.
But it's better.
It's better. It worked, so it's got to be better.
Yeah.
Well, so
let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Tell me, send me emails about how great I sound, you know.
But we're not going to give away our email addresses.
So just
leave a comment.
Good luck. That's all I can say.
All right. So, all right, we'll start off with technology. One big thing that happened this week is that Seagate bought Maxtor. Seagate hard drive company bought Maxtor's hard drive company.
Who's that leave left for competitors?
Oh, there's Western Digital. That's a big one.
Yeah. Hitachi still makes drives, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. I know the top three ones were Seagate, followed by Western Digital, and then Maxtor, and now Seagate has purchased Maxtor, so they're both up there. And I guess they bought them for $1.9 million.
You mean billion?
Billion. That's a lot more. $1.9 billion.
I never had any luck with Maxtor drives. I've had two die on me.
Yeah.
Just for personal use, actually.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I've got a Maxtor One Touch that's not really doing too good. It's actually, the software isn't working anymore. The drive seems to be okay, but I'm not very happy with it. So far, anyway. Lacy, I wonder what kind of drives are in Lacy enclosures.
I don't want to rip mine open.
No, neither do I. I like the Lacy hard drive.
Yeah.
Works well. All right, so that's a big deal. They bought them... you know, I've always thought of Seagate as being higher-end drives and Maxtor being for home use.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it.
And I think probably because you can go to Staples and buy a Maxtor.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see what happens.
Yep.
They're big now.
I was happy with their tech support, though.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Oh, yeah, when my drive died, they would just send it right out. They were happy to replace
cool.
it. But they have really long warranties on hard drives, whether like 5 years or something like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. The drive was crap, though. So
yeah. Well, another thing that happened this week, which really isn't a surprise. We've kind of known that it's going to be happening for a while, but Microsoft has ended support for Internet Explorer on the Macintosh.
Good.
Yeah, it's nothing great anyway. I'm sure you know. At one point, it was good. We put it in a lot of places just because it was an alternative to Netscape, but now it's outdated. One thing that I found to be a real pain is that. The certificate we use for our Exchange server isn't supported on the Internet Explorer.
No. What's IE4 Mac the equivalent of, like 5.5 or something?
Yeah, it's in the 5 realm. It's 5 dot something. I don't remember the exact version.
They say at one time it was like, had superb CSS support and things like that. Stuff that other browsers didn't even have at that time.
Yep.
So
it was good. And actually, I saw an article about people asking Microsoft to open it up. Put it out there, open it up, and let us develop it. I know you're stopping support for it, but just open it up. Why not?
I wonder if there's some good code in there left that they don't want. Some IE-specific code. I don't know.
So I highly doubt that would happen anyway. So we'll see. But I guess they're going to end support for Explorer on the Mac starting December 31st, which is tomorrow. And
I'm going to stay home. That's kind of, that bums me out.
That's a big thing, yeah. And then they're actually going to pull it off the download site January 31st.
When they stopped developing it? Like a year ago, probably?
Yeah, I don't remember what the date was, but it seems like it's been a long time. Oh, actually, they're saying In June 2003, the Microsoft Macintosh Business Unit announced that Internet Explorer for Mac would undergo no further development. So it was June 2003.
It's a while ago. Okay, yeah. That's a little off. But it hasn't been worth much in a long time.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. But hey, what are you going to do? It was an option that's now gone.
Correct. And I think Safari Apple developing Safari probably killed it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Safari's pretty good. Still have some rendering problems, but it is my main browser on my Mac.
Yeah.
Camino's probably my second favorite.
Yeah, we talked about Camino. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I like it. It needs extension support, but that's it.
Yeah. I like it. It's a nice browser. Camino is a browser for the Macintosh only. It's based on Firefox. Is that correct?
Yeah, same engine,
and I've used it for a couple different things, and it seems to hang on me a lot and crash, and I have to send an error report and do all that stuff. So I've been sticking with Safari or Firefox.
You should delete your profile or your settings, and then
play with that. What I find that it most crashes on is when I'm checking my webmail through Outlook Web Access.
Oh well, there you go.
Yeah, and actually, I'll send email to people, and they'll say, "Oh, I never got it." When it looked
really?
Like it was succeeded, yeah.
Okay. I never had that problem. I mean, I can understand it's not going to get great support for Outlook Web Access because of all the ActiveX stuff built in.
But, right.
You know, I don't know. You'd think it'd at least send your email.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that Outlook Web Access runs in two modes. There's the premium mode, which works great on Internet Explorer, and then there's the basic mode, which is for non-IE browsers, Firefox, Safari, Camino, etc. And, you know, I thought it would at least handle that version fine, but also, I don't think I've updated it in a while.
Oh, there you go. I run nightly versions.
Oh, okay, that's a difference, yeah. So, goodbye Internet Explorer on the Mac. If you do want it, if you want it and you use it for whatever reason, grab it, download it off the site, and keep it because you won't be able to get it from Microsoft's site pretty soon. Okay, next topic. Fee-based podcast in 2006.
What do you think? What are you thinking about these fee-based podcasts?
Well, that's a good question.
Are they worth the money? Are podcasts worth the money? I know this one isn't.
No, this one's definitely not. We won't charge for this one because we're amateurs at podcasting.
Yeah.
So my big thing with podcasts is that I like to listen to them. But I like to try out a lot of different new ones and just see what people are doing and what people are talking about. And I like to stay mostly focused on the technology-based one, although sometimes I'll get a comedy one or something else. But if they charge for them, I wouldn't be as inclined to test them out.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but there are some good ones out there that I might be considered to pay. I might consider paying for, but I'm not sure.
What are your two favorites, and do you think you'd pay for those two? Let's put it that way.
That's a good question. My two favorites are Twit, This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte and others and friends, and then another one is Security Now with Leo Laporte and Steve Gibson. And you know, I don't know if I would pay for them. That's a tough thing, because I like them a lot.
They are good podcasts.
But would I spend, say, 99 cents a week on it?
Say 50 cents, 40 cents, I don't know, something low like that. I think I might be inclined, if I really like the show, like Dignation for a video podcast, I'd probably pay 50 cents a week.
Yeah, that I probably would do, 50 cents. 99 cents or $1.99 would be too high. I don't know. I like the support that they have now where you, like a tip jar they leave or some other way to pay them.
But if I hadn't already listened to it, I wouldn't have started listening to it.
Exactly. That's
I wouldn't want to jump in, even on 50 cents, it wouldn't be worth my time.
Right.
I like 75 Minutes. That's a non-tech podcast I listen to, and I probably would pay a dollar for that.
You would pay a dollar
for
that.
Because that's 75 minutes of music.
That's true.
Roughly, they talk a little bit. But, you know, overall, it's good music. I'd probably pay for it.
You know, if you do have to start paying for them, though, iTunes has got to change the way that you browse for podcasts, because they really don't make it easy to find a variety of them. Basically, there's the top 10 or 20, and if you're not in the top 10 or 20, you don't really hear too much about it unless... You go into the browse feature, which is
well,
kind
it's not
of
bad.
Cumbersome.
They've got those pictures on the front now that say like
the different categories.
And, yeah, they have little categories and stuff.
Yeah, that helps. That definitely helps.
Well, I haven't been looking around it too much. You know.
So fee-based podcast, and you know what? I swear, I've browsed around before and seen some in the past that you could pay for.
Really? I haven't seen any. And it's important to remember that not all podcasts through Apple's, through the iTunes Music Store, will be fee-based. I think they're just enabling support for podcasts that want to charge fees.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And that would be useful. I could see maybe some of the business or companies that are already fee-based doing something like that. Maybe an MTV podcast that you would subscribe to.
Yeah.
At that point, you got the name backing you up, and people would be willing to pay for the name.
So yeah, I don't think it'd be worth my time.
No.
Stick with this one. You'll be okay.
Yeah, this one.
Casting from the server room. 99 cents.
With Matt and Nick. Okay. So, so fees, fee-based podcast in 2006 coming up. And actually, aren't they, was it January 10th or whatever it is? They're redoing price structure of iTunes Music Store.
I don't know if it's January 5th, but I heard it's coming up. Yeah. I guess the music, the record industry has talked Apple into going to variable pricing from what I've heard.
Right.
So you're going to see low prices for some of the older stuff and higher prices from the newer stuff. I don't know if it's going to work out or if people are going to, you know,
but this will probably coincide with it. And I wonder if they need a different version of iTunes to support the variable pricing.
I don't think so.
I don't want to think so either. It seems like it's just a website.
They've got one GIF for buttons and it says 99 cents on it.
You have to upgrade to get any others.
So that's that.
So that's it. That's that.
Let's move on.
Next topic, DivX. DivX is a codec that's used to decode video. Very popular with a lot of movies that are out there. Xvid as well is another big one, probably bigger now. But DivX is now including or introducing a browser plugin so you can actually stream DivX movies from a website. It's right now it's in a beta, but it's worth checking out. It's a pretty cool idea.
Well, it's definitely not an original idea, but no. It's definitely good. I definitely would enjoy that. But I can't claim to be any kind of a professional when it comes to video encoding or any kind of codec stuff. But, you know, a DivX web browser plugin sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
And it seemed to support a lot of browsers, too. Firefox, I think, IE.
Right.
Something else was in there, wasn't it? Maybe. Can't remember now. Safari.
I think pretty much all the browsers were supported in the list.
I'd have to check all the browsers.
Every single browser.
Is Dillo on there?
Dillo's on there.
Lynx.
Lynx
is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yep. Oh man. All right. And I guess there's another virus. Actually, a ton of viruses out there. But MSN 8 beta virus, a virus that pretends to be MSN version 8. If you get any indication that somebody wants you to download Messenger 8. Don't do it. There is no Messenger 8 at this point, even a beta.
Hopefully there never will be a Messenger 8. I'm hoping.
You're hoping? Yeah. Actually, what do you use for your instant messaging needs?
Let's see. Well, I have Adium running, and under that I have AIM. Let's see. Google Talk.
Google Talk, yeah.
I usually have Bonjour running in case there's anyone locally around.
Yeah.
You never know. And sometimes Jabber. Throw up some Jabber. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to use Adium. On the PC, I like to use Trillion. And I like to use Meebu for a web interface instead of the other web interfaces that are out there. Meebu's pretty good, Ajax-based.
That's not bad. Got a lot of hype a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But as far as clients go, stick with Adium usually.
Yep.
Yeah. But protocols, I don't really have a favorite protocol. I just go with, most of my friends are on AIM. I know in the U.S. it's pretty popular.
Yep.
Though I hear Europe, it's all about the MSN Messenger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Seen a lot more people on Yahoo. Actually, I went to a computer recently, sat down in front of it, went to add remove programs, and the last probably 8 programs were all Yahoo stuff. Yahoo Messenger, Toolbar, bunch of other Yahoo things.
So. There's bunches of other? I thought there was only 2.
Yeah, I know. But apparently there's a lot more.
Nice.
So our computer was running slow.
Well, how are you going to search the internet without the Yahoo Toolbar?
True.
I mean, I still haven't found
a way. Yeah, I don't think there is.
I know on my Mac, there's no Yahoo Toolbar, and I haven't been able to get online in months, probably.
You need to download AOL. That will do it.
Yeah, and MSN 8 beta.
Bye. Yes. So that's it for technology news. This was as of yesterday. If anything happened today or late yesterday, we really didn't add it. This was our notes that we're going to do yesterday, and we have it updated. Actually, we spent quite a bit of the day running around because Nick is
buying an apartment.
Renting an apartment.
Yes, renting, not buying.
Yes. So it's actually pretty cool. We're excited about that.
Yep.
So maybe someday we'll do the podcast from there. Maybe. That'd be awesome.
It's really got good insulation, so no one can hear us. It'd be good. I'm telling you, this place is great.
That's cool. All right, so we're done with news. The next thing we wanted to start going into is the different tips that we have for the different operating systems. And the first operating system we're going to talk about is Windows. And Nick is falling asleep over there. He's not a big Windows fan, so I'll take this one over.
I'm not anti-Windows.
No, you're not anti-Windows. You just you don't use it. So
most of my opinions are based on fact and personal experience.
Yes.
Some are based on myth and folklore.
Those are the fun ones. All right, so what I'm going to talk about today is really actually kind of a basic topic. It's something we should all be aware of, but just want to talk about it. A Windows tip, disable the Messenger service. If you're directly connected to the Internet without using either the Windows firewall or a hardware-based firewall, like a Linksys router or Netgear router, what have you, you need to disable the Messenger service. Otherwise, you'll just get these pop-ups on your screen, these little gray pop-ups that say so-and-so sent you a message, and it has an advertisement of some sort in it. And that uses the Messenger service built into Windows to display that message. So you can stop those people from sending you messages by disabling that service. And to do that, you can right-click on My Computer, click on Manage, and then branch open Services and Applications on the left-hand side, and click on Services. And then if you scroll through the list on the right-hand side, you will see one called Messenger. And what you do on that is double-click on it. It brings up the properties of that service, and you set its startup type to disabled and stop the service. And that way, now, whenever your computer starts up, it's not going to have that service on, and you've also turned it off by hitting the stop. And so when people try to send you a message using the Messenger service, it won't work.
That's an old tip.
That is an old tip.
I remember having that issue when we first bought XP.
Yep.
You know, back in like 01, 02, something like that.
Yeah, it's been around. It's a Messenger service is an NT-based system, so you find it in Windows NT, 2000, and XP. So if you're running 98 or 95 or Millennium, you're not going to run into this.
Hmm. Great tip.
Unless you installed, what was that? What was that program? Pop-up? Win pop-up? Something like that?
I don't know. You guys and your preventative maintenance chores.
Yeah.
Is it my turn for the Mac tip?
It is your turn for the Macintosh tip.
Okay, here's my Mac tip. This is something I ran into this week during a big server migration from Panther to Tiger. One server, it's an Open Directory master. Trying to change the IP is not as simple as changing it in the GUI, in system prefs. You actually have to use a command line tool called change IP. You have to provide like the LDAP path and the new IP. But even then, I couldn't get it to work. And I ended up having to export the user database and re-import it and after a reinstall. So good luck trying to figure out a way to change the IP. People say it worked. I guess I didn't do enough research. But you can really screw up your schema, I guess you'd say.
I guess, yeah. Remember when you did it, it didn't work afterwards, right? You had to change it back.
Yeah.
So I guess the tip is don't try and change an IP on an Open Directory master server.
Yeah. You know what? I ended up just reinstalling server, and that was the best thing, I think.
Wow.
So just plan your IP address changes there.
Yep. Try to, we wanted to move the new server to have the existing old server's address. That way we wouldn't have to go around and change all the clients to point to the different IP address because we were doing it by IP and that name. Even if we did do it by name, it still would have been a problem.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Good luck with that.
All right. Well, that brings us to another boring topic for you, Active Directory tip. This is an oldie but a goodie. We're going to talk about admin templates. The admin templates are what are used by the operating system or by Active Directory to determine what settings you use in group policies. And the default set that comes with Windows 2000 or Windows Server 2003 work fine until there's a service pack. And when there's a service pack, there's things added. For example, we all know when Service Pack 2 for Windows XP was introduced, the firewall was beefed up and turned on by default. So, and a lot of other things. So what you can do now is update your admin template so you can control the additional features. Another example is the privacy tab in Internet Explorer. The version that came with Windows 2000 didn't support the privacy tab, but in XP it did. So you could upgrade your admin template. So I've included links in the show notes to a link that shows you how to update your admin templates and a link that shows you where you can download the admin templates for your different versions of Windows and service pack levels. But basically what you do is you open up your group policy, you right-click on the admin portion, the admin templates, and you choose the option Add Remove Templates. And then at that point, you're prompted for the location of the admin template, and you browse to where you downloaded it to, select it, hit OK, and it will import it in. Now, if you are running a different version, or I'm sorry, a non-service pack version of Windows Server 2003, you might find that you have to do a couple updates. You may have to bring it up to Service Pack 1 or apply an update. Otherwise, you'll get this dialog box about, I can't remember what it says, but... you'll see an error about the admin template, that there's not enough characters or something like that. And you just do a Google search, you'll find that error. I unfortunately didn't bring it up before the podcast. But if you experience that, either update or look for that patch. So admin templates, very important. Get them up to date. It is also important to know that there are non-Microsoft admin templates you can add as well. Including additional Microsoft admin templates, like you can add an admin template for Outlook so you can control Outlook settings. You can also add an admin template for Firefox so you can control Firefox settings. So
interesting. Yeah. Have you done any push-outs with Firefox?
Yeah, we have. We've pushed it out to quite a few districts. And one of the reasons is we find that Nick and I both work in school districts, quite a few different school districts. And we find that students bring in their own version of Firefox because they like it so much. Can't blame them. Firefox is a great program. So what we said was they're going to bring it in, which we're not blaming them for. We'll give it to them. We push it out, and we'll do it by our rules. We'll put out our proxy settings and all of our different things and lock it down so they can't change it. They can't capture passwords and auto-save passwords and all that stuff. So, yeah, it works well.
Good. I'm glad somebody tackled that as far as the pushing out policies to Firefox. You actually can control like proxy settings like that off from Active Directory?
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting the way it works. It's twofold. When you do a Firefox one, you push out the software, and that's no problem. You just grab the MSI from a website. And then the next step is you install the template into the policy. And I usually assign it to the computer. And excuse me. And then you create a script, which, again, I would assign to the computer in this case. And it goes through, and the admin template, when you start up, it writes all these settings to the registry. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. When you start the computer up, the script runs and runs all these settings to the registry, and then the admin program comes through and gathers all the information. So it's kind of like they work together.
Mm. Cool. That's
and I may have that backwards, but you get the
idea.
That's
an awesome Active Directory tip.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. Awesome. All right. open or free software of the week. And we changed it. Last week it was open software of the week, but I figured to...
How about awesome software of the week?
We could do awesome software. We might change it to awesome software.
How about a new adjective every week for the software? Next week it'll be sad.
So, sounds good. Sad software?
Sad software.
Sad software. Angry software. I'm mad. So, all right. Open software or free software of the week. Free. Qt PDF. Qt PDF is a program for the PC, runs on Windows, that allows you to install a PDF printer on your computer for free. It does use an open source product to do the conversion to PDF, but the Qt PDF program itself is a free program, not an open source. And all you do is you install it, install the second program that goes with it, and you go file print when you're in a program, and you have that option to print. When you say print to the PDF printer, it comes up save as, you save it, and you got a PDF. And it works well.
I love PDFs.
So do I. Actually, one thing that's nice about Macintosh is that there's native PDF support.
Yep. I love printing a PDF.
Yeah.
Natively. Here. That's right.
Yeah. So with Windows, you can go out and buy Acrobat Reader and Acrobat Writer. Actually the whole Acrobat program.
I guess you could do that.
You can do that. And it's actually it will give you more features and everything. But if you just want something for spitting out clean and dirty... quick and dirty. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Quick and dirty PDFs. Qt PDF is a good way to go. Especially if you have, say, 500 computers and you just want to get it done and not spend too much money.
And it's cute.
It is cute. Cute PDF.
Okay.
All right. And our website of the week. Now, I'm going to tell Nick about this one, but I'm sure he's already heard about it, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I come to Nick and I show him all these cool things, and he says, yeah, that was so 6 months ago.
I don't say it like that.
All right. The one we're going to talk about is O'Reilly's Open Book. And these are a bunch of books that are online that people published freely so that we can you can go on. You don't have to really pay anything for them. You just open them up and start reading them online. I think it's released under Creative Commons. But one of the books you can take a look at is Free as Freedom by Richard Stallman. Actually, it's by Sam Williams, but it's about Richard Stallman. And it goes through different things that he's done. It looks pretty neat. So that's the website of the week. And there's a lot of other books. Let's see. There's some Linux books, MySQL books, Perl books, Samba books, CGI programming.
Out of print books.
Out of print, yeah. You can bring up out of print. World Wide Web Journal.
Making text work. That was pretty good.
Cool.
So, yeah. Programming to be.
I never actually explored it.
Oh, programming the B OS. That's funny. So that's our website of the week. Now we come to my favorite part.
Oh, don't tell this joke.
Corny joke of the week.
You could condense this joke into about two lines, I'm telling you.
He doesn't like it. Oh, you did read it. It's funny, isn't it?
No.
All right. It's corny.
If it makes you happy, go ahead and read it. All
right. Here we go. Corny joke of the week. A man was in front of his house mowing grass when his attractive blonde female neighbor, Judy, came out of her house and went straight to the mailbox. She opened it, then slammed it shut and stormed back into the house.
Why does she have to be attractive?
Because, I don't know, that's a good question.
I'm not arguing that it's not.
I guess I could have taken out that word and made it shorter. Or you could have not interrupted
me. Maybe I should proofread these for just silly words and just take them right out. That makes it too long.
Okay. A little later, she came out of her house again. Went to the mailbox and again opened it and slammed it shut again. Angrily, she went back into the house. As the man was getting ready to edge the lawn, she came out again, marched to the mailbox, opened it, then slammed it closed harder than ever. Puzzled by her actions, the man asked her, "Is something wrong?" To which she replied, "There certainly is. My stupid computer keeps saying, you've got mail."
Zing.
Ba-dum-tsh.
I like that he's edging the lawn.
Yeah.
Not many people edge the lawn anymore.
No, they don't.
It's underappreciated because it actually makes your lawn. It's like framing your lawn.
It does make it look good. I sometimes will weed whack.
That's not edging.
No, I know. But sometimes I'll hold it so it's like the blades are, not the blades, but the.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. If you do a vertical sort of thing.
It makes it look a little bit better.
That was the best part of that joke.
Man, oh man. It's corny.
I'm going to start picking the jokes.
Hey, you know what? Do it.
I'm going to start reading these jokes. I'm going to be like, a woman walks out of her house looking for mail, and she's angry at AOL. And that'll be the end of it.
She looks up to the sky. You, AOL. Darn you.
I think we just got an explicit rating. Thanks, Matt.
I think we can go over and put a beep. All right. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm all done.
Hey, do you want to give out your email address?
No,
neither do I. We'll probably come up with some generic email address.
Maybe we should get our own domain, like you were saying.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, and we could have just Nick at Casting from the Server Room.
Yeah.
But
castingfromtheserverroom.com is too long, so I think I'm going to look at something shorter.
Server Room Casting. No, it's I looked the same at, length.
Actually, let me take this. I did take a look. I thought about that. What would be a shorter
name? It sounds like you're trying to fish from a server room.
Yeah, I know. I thought the server room, thinking that would be a good name, but I went to it and it's for sale.
Someone's, yeah.
$1,688.
I say, dude, this is going to be huge.
I think so.
So yeah. I think that's a pretty good investment, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the checks to start pulling in. It's rolling in the money for this.
That's not why we do this at all. Actually, why do we do this?
Well, you just drag me here and you tell me I have to.
Yep. So it's a good reason. Yeah. We're having fun with it, though.
Yeah, you're my buddy, so I'll do it.
Thank you. All right. So I think that finishes up this podcast. We'll see everybody next week. Or actually, we won't see anybody, but you'll get to hear us next week. Our regular day, we decided, will be Thursday nights. So we now have the equipment, and we'll be able to pump things out Thursday. So look for either early Friday morning or anytime after. we're once we get a couple episodes, we put publishing this to the iTunes Music Store just to make sure, you know, we know what we're doing and we've decided on the domain name and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's it.
Unless I can convince him otherwise until then.
Right. Okay. So see ya.
See you next week.